This is Jody Apple.
The resurrection of Christ is key to everything when Jesus says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." The apostles' unbelief in the resurrection of Christ was critically pointed out in the immediately preceding verses in Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 9. They, that is the apostles, repeatedly rejected eyewitness testimony. They failed to believe even after Christ initially appeared to them. It would make no sense at all for Jesus to send them into the world to preach a gospel based on their denial of the resurrection. That kind of faith cannot save. It is powerless to save. They, the apostles, had to accept the truthfulness of the resurrection. At first, they failed to do so because they rejected eyewitness testimony. Now, they are charged with the task of convincing the world to believe in their own eyewitness testimony. That's why Peter and John are so passionate and so bold in their preaching. They knew that they didn't believe at first. They remembered Christ's rebukes for their unbelief. They knew that they were still lacking in faith even after they personally witnessed the resurrection. But that was past. Now they knew that they had actually seen, actually heard, actually touched, and actually experienced the resurrected Christ. He was proven to be alive again by many infallible proofs, Acts 1:3. Now it was their task to teach that message to the world. When Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved," he meant that those taught by the apostles must not only believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but that he was the resurrected Son of God, that he was able not only to take his own life back, but that he was also able to give them, the believers, life eternally. And they had to be convinced based upon apostolic testimony. Those who do not believe will be condemned, the text says. Not just those who do not believe in Christ, but those who do not believe in the resurrected Christ, who was able to raise both himself and the lost souls who truly believe in him. The text continues in Mark 16, and these signs will follow those who believe. The signs that Jesus promised would follow come only to those with faith in the saving power of the resurrected Christ. It was not enough just to believe in God, not enough just to believe in Christ. The signs accompanied those who believed in the resurrected Christ, who was again able not only to bring life to himself, but to give eternal life to everybody who has that same degree of faith. They are the ones who are going to be able to cast out demons. They are the ones who are going to be able to speak with new tongues. They are the ones who are not going to be ill affected by any serpents who bite them. The saving power of the resurrected Christ is at the core of everything. If we read Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 by itself, out of this context, then it is entirely possible that we might not see these truths. 7 times in this immediate context, a little more than 1/4 of all of the occurrences of faith-related terms in the book of Mark, Jesus is talking pointedly about his resurrected state as the Messiah. Has God raised the bar? Has he made things that much more difficult for us? Because he's not just saying, "I just want you to believe. I just want you to believe that there's a God. I just want you to believe that a man by the name of Jesus walked on the face of this earth." You can know these truths even without the Bible. You can come to faith in God through his creation. Jesus is alluded to in the course of secular history, but it is only the Bible, the eyewitness testimony confirmed and corroborated by the miracles, the proofs, and by the recording of the word, safeguarded, vouchsafed providentially for 2,000 years that we know of the resurrection of the Christ with certainty. Our faith, then, needs to be based in that Messiah, because his resurrection is the hope of my resurrection, and the hope of yours and your neighbors and everybody's resurrection. That's what we need to preach. We need to preach that and live that in a way that we have the same degree of confidence and conviction that the early Christians had. Without faith in the reality of the resurrection, there is no hope. That's exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. If the resurrection had not happened, their faith was in vain. Their preaching was in vain. Everything about what they were doing was in vain, and they would be, of all men, most miserable. They would still be in their sins, and there would be nothing to live for. The resurrection is obviously central to all of faith. The faith that leads to the conclusion that Jesus is the resurrected and thus the saving Christ must also evidence itself in a specific God-ordained means of obedience. That God-ordained means of obedience is realized in baptism. That is the divinely ordained connection between faith and baptism in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Because of that, we note these things as to why Jesus rebuked the apostles. He did so for at least these reasons. First, they did not believe, not initially anyway, that he had resurrected. Second, they did not believe that he had resurrected. Thus, they did not believe what Jesus repeatedly told them while he was still alive concerning the resurrection. Jesus spoke often of the facts, the prophecy, and the reality of that coming event. In the context of Peter's declaration that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew 16:13, Jesus told the apostles that he would have to be delivered up, be killed, and then rise from the grave on the third day. Peter, on that occasion, boldly told the Christ that he, that is Peter, would not allow that to happen. At which time, Christ rebuked Peter by saying, "Get behind me, Satan." In the third place, the apostles did not believe that he had resurrected because they did not believe the eyewitness testimonies of those who had already seen the resurrected Christ before they did. Thus, they rejected legitimate, bona fide evidence that conclusively proved that Jesus was indeed alive after his crucifixion. In John 20, the account of the man we refer to as Doubting Thomas, that account shows us that the apostles told Thomas that even though he, Thomas, did not personally see the Christ, at that point anyway, he should still believe in the resurrection of Christ based on their eyewitness testimony. That's ironic, because previously they refused to believe eyewitness testimony of the two women and of the two men who were en route to Emmaus. Fourth, the significance of belief in this immediate passage is thus very closely connected to faith because of eyewitness testimony. Faith, not just that Jesus was the Messiah, but faith that Jesus was and is a special kind of Messiah, a resurrected Messiah. Fifth, our obedience to God's Word in baptism, as is taught in this passage, is thus very closely connected to belief in Christ as the Messiah, specifically Christ as the resurrected Messiah. In fact, without the obedience of faith as demonstrated in baptism according to this passage, we reject the significance of the connection that God has placed between baptism and the resurrected Christ. But it is more than just denying or rejecting a connection that God has placed there. It is denying the truth of God's Word, denying the saving power of God's ability, and rejecting the grace of God. When we do what God asks us to do, by demonstrating submission inherent in obedient faith, then God keeps His Word and His promise and saves us when we obey. In this regard, our response of faith in baptism parallels the response of faith depicted in the numerous Old Testament heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, they all acted. Their responses were prompted by faith. They were demonstrations of faith. Indeed, without those actions as recorded there, it would be wrong to say that they had saving faith. Our faith, today must prompt us to act in the same way that their faith prompted them to act. In this regard, when it says in Mark 16:15-16, he that believes is just that. It's obedient, submissive, surrendering faith. Belief is active. That active faith must prompt us to surrender to God. When we are baptized, the term there is passive. We must actively show our belief by passively submitting to God's command to be baptized. In so doing, we demonstrate our reliance upon the resurrected Christ's shed blood to cleanse our souls from sin. The significance of faith and baptism, as is reflected in Mark 16, is that it is the concluding act of obedience that takes us out of the world and places us into the body of Christ. We see that especially in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and following, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. And in that process, we appropriate the saving blood of the resurrected Messiah to our souls. Thank you so much for listening today.